Thanks, Star. Fun arrangement. Fun because I got to listen to it and didn't have to play it. That's why it's fun. All right, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1 today. Be praying for Cindy Plenner while you're turning there. Cadets, that's page 507 in those light blue Bibles. But Cindy shut her finger in the car door this morning and split it open. I mean, it was a serious, not just a pinch. So pray for her. I think everything's going to be fine, but she'll be sore for a little while. I remember when I was a kid once, when we lived in Sage Creek, and everybody's piling in the front of a single cab pickup, and we're at a friend's house, and we're all piling in, and I think there was all six of us at the time. We're piling in, it starts to rain. So of course my dad's hollering, "Hey, come on, get in the truck. So we're all scrambling in. I was the youngest. I was the last one in. I got on my mom's lap, and she was in a hurry to get the door shut. Well, you know how the cab of the truck comes down like this, and you grab that to pull it yourself up in? I was pulling myself in when the door shut. And you know how those doors have like a two click before they're actually, it clicked on the first click, and my hand was stuck in there. My mom had to like pull it and then release it. It didn't split anything open, but I acted like it did. But it, all the fun of that stuff, huh? What's safety? Who needs it, right? But be praying for Cindy. I'm sure she's going to be sore for probably a week or two. All right, John chapter 1. And now let's go ahead and pray again one more time, if you would, before we look at the word here. Lord, I believe we're looking at something very important here today. And I pray that you would bless, that you would work, and that you would come in and speak to hearts, God, give an understanding through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So John chapter 1, what I'm going to talk about today is found in John chapter 1, and it's a comparison. It's a comparison that Jesus Christ himself gave, and it's something important to understand what's differentiated here in this comparison, because a lot of people today don't understand the difference of what we're going to cover this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 17, he says, "For the law was given by Moses." Now let's stop right there. First of all, what did Moses give or bring? What's he most famous for? The Ten Commandments, all right? And all through the Bible, the Ten Commandments, as well as hundreds of other commandments that God gave, are referred to as the law. So Jesus Christ says in John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but," now that's in contrast. He said, "but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So what I want to compare today is the law versus grace and truth. You say, why would you compare those two? Because Jesus Christ did it, so it's not wrong to make this comparison today, but it gives us an understanding of really the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when they were under the law, but today we're under grace and truth, and how that differentiation affects us today. He said, the law was given by Moses, so Ten Commandments, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a handful of scriptures, and then I'll write some of these up on the board here in a little bit, but turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, that's page 575 in those light blue Bibles, but 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now the problem with not making the distinction between these two is most people will start to mix them together. They say, well, I'll take a little bit of the law and I'll take a little bit of truth and grace, and maybe if I do a little bit of each, I'll be okay. And that's not what God intended at all. That's why Christ in the book of John said, but the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the one that made that distinction. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look down at verse 9. And we'll see this outlined in several places in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, he says, "Who hath saved us," talking about Christ, "and called us with an holy calling, not according to what? Our works." So he made it plain. He says here, not according to our works. This is the Apostle Paul writing this, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he said, listen, we're called with an holy calling, but it's not according to our works. It came by Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Turn back to your left just a little bit. You got Galatians, Ephesians, right there after 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and chapter 2. Now, Galatians is a great book. If you want to read more about the law and how it's changed Today, read through the book of Galatians. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures in Galatians, but we're not going to cover all of them, obviously, today. But Galatians chapter 2, and I want you to look in verse 16. That's page 561, cadets, if you want to look there. Galatians 2:16. He says, knowing that a man, now this is Paul. Paul says, knowing. This is sure in his mind. He said, there's no doubt about it. He says, knowing, Galatians 2:16, that a man is not justified by the works of the what?
Law.
Now that's what we're comparing today, the law versus grace. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on there, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now listen, that's been in the Bible since about 58 AD, since the first century. Why are people still trying to be justified by the works of the law? You say, I don't get it. I don't either, but that's because they don't understand or rightly divide the Bible and the Old Testament, New Testament. So we're looking at the law versus grace today, because even people today get mixed up on this and they think, well, you can go and ask people. Say, how do you get to heaven? How do you think you get to heaven? Well, I think it's following the Ten Commandments, being a good person, you know, just treating your fellow man right. That's all the works of the law. And they get mixed up on that. But he said, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at verse 21 in that same chapter, verse 21. Paul says, I do not frustrate. He said, I'm not going to confuse. I'm not going to try to negate. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead, what? In vain. So Paul said, if you could do something that was good enough to get you to heaven, Christ would not have had to die. And that makes sense, right? Christ, we didn't just need Christ's help. We needed Christ altogether. People have told me before, oh, I don't need a crutch like, you know, Jesus Christ. Christ is not my crutch, okay? Christ is like the scaffolding. He's my foundation. He is everything that I need and that I rely on. He is not just a crutch. He doesn't just help me. He is everything. Now listen to that verse again. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law. So Paul's giving the supposition. He said, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, again, he wrote 13 books of the Old Testament, or the New Testament, and he said, listen, if righteousness could have been attained by doing the works of the law, he said, then Christ died for no reason. Now, do you think God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for the world, to die for the ungodly, that commendeth his love toward us in Romans chapter 5? You think God allowed that to happen for no reason? No, he didn't. Which the implied response is, then righteousness cannot come by the law, as we just read in the earlier verses there. Now look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now what he's talking about there is very the grace, the salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and the bondage of being under the law for salvation. Now in the Old Testament, yes, they were under the law, and it was like bondage. Now, it's not that the law was bad. The Bible says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak in the flesh. You see, what the law could not do wasn't the law's problem. It was our problem. And I've mentioned this before, but we can't live good enough to attain righteousness by the law. So what did God do? God sent his Son in the form of sinful man and in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he lived the perfect life for us. Christ lived the perfect life for us. And that's what we're going to actually look at today. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I know many of you are familiar with this, and obviously with the concept, but I think it's important for the crowd we have today. Matthew chapter 5. And this is what we're going to see here in Matthew chapter 5. Christ is speaking, and he says in verse 16, Matthew 5:16, cadets, it's page 458. First book of the New Testament, Matthew 5:16, Christ says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then he tells the apostles, he says, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law. Christ didn't come to do away with the Ten Commandments, to destroy them. He said, I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. Now, that's what we're going to look at today. Because if Christ died on the cross for my sins, and he did, and if Christ is the propitiation, the satisfaction for my sins, that means Christ had to fulfill all the righteousness of the law, right? Because if that's what God required and Christ died in my place and God accepted his atonement, then Christ must be the fulfilling of the law, as he said here. So let's put that to the test. And we're going to look at some of the things of the law that you know, oftentimes we think are required for salvation. So we'll just draw the line here. We'll talk about the law over here and then about what Christ did for us over here. Because he said, I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Now take your Bibles and turn back to Galatians chapter 3. Should have kept you there, but page 561. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to write the verse here. Galatians chapter 3. And look down at verse 10. Galatians 3 and verse 10. He says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So under the law, we have to do good works. We call them good works, and Christ even uses that term, good works. Okay? So he said, again, Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, a lot of people are not aware of that verse. That if they are going to try and be a good enough person to merit salvation by good works, by being under the law, they have to do all the law, not just the Ten Commandments. You need to read Exodus, Leviticus, all through there where God gives the laws to Israel, the Sabbath days, the feast days, all the things that are contained in the law. He said, cursed is everyone, the end of that verse, that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, the book of the law, you can go back and look at the Old Testament. Hundreds and hundreds of commandments in there. And the Bible says in James, he says, for whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend in how many points? One point is guilty of all. We can't even keep 10 commandments. You think you can keep hundreds of commandments? You know, the people of Israel couldn't. That's why God provided, you know, for animal sacrifices to cover their sins. God provided that for them because they couldn't keep it. And that was the intention. God was to show them that you can't keep the whole law. And we'll look at some verses on that later. So good works. So how did Christ fulfill the law there? In fact, you can read it. Look at verse 11 before we turn from there. Paul says, Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now turn to Acts chapter 10, page 528 for you cadets. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to write this up on Christ's side here. I don't think anybody would argue that Christ did good work, but we'll show you where it is in the Bible. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, say the next two words there, doing good. That's all Christ's life consisted of. He went about doing good. He said, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Christ fulfilled the law in good works. As far as the basic overview. Now, we'll look at some specifics today as well. But he said, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Turn to one more place on this thought. Turn to John chapter 10. You're in Acts. Go back a book to the book of John in chapter 10. Cadets, that's page 514. John chapter 10. Now, listen. I'm not teaching this today because it's quote-unquote Baptist doctrine. This is Bible doctrine, okay? And this is something I was confused about before I got saved at 16 years old. I thought, man, I got to mix good works and believing in Christ. And that's what I was taught in the church I was raised in. You got to believe in Jesus Christ, but you also have to tithe and, you know, get baptized and do all these things, be good to your fellow man. And even then, they say, if you do all these things, you might be good enough to get to heaven. But you don't know for sure. That's not what the Bible says. Now, Acts or John chapter 10, and Acts, let's look at verse 32. Let me write this up here. John chapter 10, and you look down at verse 32. Now, this is Christ speaking in John 10, 32. And he says there, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? So, in other words, the Jews were wanting to stone Jesus Christ. And he said, look, I've not done anything wrong. I've done many good works and I've showed you from my Father. So Christ said, I'm the fulfilling of the law. Well, he certainly fulfilled the good works part. Over and over again, you just read through the Gospels, you see where he healed the sick and he healed the blind and he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, all of that. He provided, he fed the 5,000 two different times where he fed a multitude of people. All these things that Christ did, you cannot accuse Christ of not fulfilling the law and good works in that sense. Now, what's another thing that people often look at and say, well, you need to do this in order to go to heaven? I'm going to write this down, baptism. Okay, now this was a big one in the church I was raised in. In the church I was raised in, they told me, listen, everybody at 8 years old, now why they chose 8 years old, I don't know. But they said at 8 years old, you have to get baptized. And at that point, that's when your original sin is washed away. My original sin was not washed away in the baptismal font, okay? That's why the apostle said, for Christ sent me not to what? Baptize, but to preach the gospel. Baptism is not part of the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. But turn over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, page 458. You're in the book of John. Just go back a couple books to the book of Matthew in chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and I want you to look at verse 13. Matthew 3, 13. It says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. This is John the Baptist. It says, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That's part of that fulfilling of the law Christ was talking about. You say, why did Christ get baptized? Because he had sin? No. Because he got saved? No. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Because Christ came not to destroy the law and prophets, he came to fulfill them. He says, for thus it becometh us, verse 15, fulfill all righteousness, then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and it goes on there. So Christ fulfilled the law, Matthew chapter 3, in baptism. So you see, baptism isn't part of salvation. Why? Because that's something Christ accomplished on the cross for us, or accomplished for us in his life. See, 13 through about 16 there. So what's another thing in the law that the law requires? What are you all doing today? Where are you at? Church attendance. Now, obviously, they didn't call it a church in the Old Testament. It was called the temple that they went to. They had the Sabbath day that they followed. All of those things. But you know, a lot of people, they put a lot of emphasis on this, saying, man, you need to go to church, you need to do right, you need to get baptized. They put emphasis on these good works. All right, turn over to page 475, cadets, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we'll just look at a couple references on this, because this one's pretty plain. Mark chapter 1, I think we're looking at verse, yep. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he, this is talking about Christ, entered into the synagogue and taught. Straightway. So they go to this new town, they're traveling, and they said, straightway on the Sabbath day, Christ is like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. See, what did Christ do? Christ went to church when he was supposed to, based on the Old Testament. Luke chapter 4, you don't need to turn there, but it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was. You see, this just wasn't a one-time deal that Christ went to church on the Sabbath day. It was his custom. It was his habit. This is what he did. And I understand, sometimes people got to work. They can't make it to church on Sunday. That's fine. I understand that. But Christ's custom, his habit was, it says he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. If you want to look that one up, that's Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So you say, well, I think church attendance is part of getting to heaven. Well, Christ accomplished that for us too. He did the good works. He was baptized. He went to church on the Sabbath day. All these things that we think are part of the law or part of good works in order to earn our way to heaven, but yet Christ fulfilled them all for us ahead of time. You say, what are we doing here today then? If Christ fulfilled that for us, we're here to worship and to honor God, to honor his word. You see, after Christ died on the cross, he was raised again on the first day of the week. You can see that in the Bible. The apostles, they met on the first day of the week to break bread, and they taught on the first day of the week, and that began to be a tradition where they met on the first day of the week. And so that is why we meet on the first day of the week today, because Christ rose on the first day of the week. That's when the early church in the book of Acts and right after Christ died on the cross met on the first day of the week. So we meet on the first day of the week today. But as far as being a requirement for salvation, no, it's not. You go to Luke chapter 23, and I know I mention this a lot, but Luke chapter 23, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross never got baptized after that day. He never went to church. He didn't have the opportunity to do good works. And yet Christ told the thief on the cross, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he was, because all three of them, Jesus Christ and both of those thieves that were crucified with him, died that day on the cross. That was the custom in Roman crucifixion, that they didn't stay on there for days and days and days. They went and broke their legs so that they couldn't pull themselves up to breathe, and they would eventually suffocate, either in the fluid in their lungs or just suffocation on the cross in crucifixion. So they all died that day. But that thief on the cross, by the words of Jesus Christ, went to heaven without any of these right here. And he was admitted guilty. Let's look at another one. And this is a big one here. This is one that specifically the law calls out for, that not one of you has done yourself. And I'm going to abbreviate there. Blood atonement. Blood atonement. Turn to the Old Testament. Well, actually, I'll just quote it. You don't need to turn there. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 9, page 581 for you cadets. Hebrews chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 17, when God's giving the law to Israel, he said, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you. This is verse 11, Leviticus 17, 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. That has never changed. Not from Leviticus, not prior to that, not after that. It has always been a blood atonement. And you can see that all through the Bible. Even when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they tried to cover their shame with fig leaves, but the Bible says God made coats of skin for them. So something had to shed its blood there. In Exodus chapter 12, when the children of Israel were in Egypt before they received the law. In Exodus chapter 12, and God says, the destroyer shall pass through Egypt this night. And the Bible says, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. You say, why? Because either they had to have the blood of the lamb that God described to them in Exodus 12 on the doorposts, or somebody else died there. But if they wanted to be saved from that destruction, they had to be trusting in the blood of the lamb. So it's blood atonement in Genesis chapter 3. It was blood atonement in Exodus chapter 12. It's blood atonement in Leviticus chapter 17. And all through the Old Testament, it was a blood atonement to cover their sins on the altar, all through there. And then Christ came, and he was the final sacrifice for us. Now, you're in Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 22. And I'll write this on this side here. Hebrews chapter 9. And it's talking about, in the Old Testament, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. And he says there, and almost all things are by the law, there's our word, purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. That's pretty plain. And as I described, that was all through the Old Testament. It was a blood atonement. Now, hopefully, you have not shed any blood to atone for your own sins in the last 2,000 years, that anybody has. Now, I know. I've met people that, that cut themselves. They do things wrong, and they think, oh. And so that is a way that they try to deal with that in their mind. But listen, that blood atonement doesn't do any good. You say, why? Because our blood is tainted with sin. That's why in Romans chapter 3 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our blood can't atone for our sins. And God gives the requirements all through the Old Testament of what the right sacrifice was. He told them it has to be a male of the first year without blemish. Well, there's none of us in here that are without blemish. You're wearing glasses or you got, you know, we all have problems, okay, whether you admit it or not. There is no Adonis or perfect male in here. I know you guys think you are right now. Trust me, as you get older, you'll realize you are not. And none of us are. Listen, there's no perfect man or woman and then say, I've never sinned once, and if I shed my own blood, God, no. God's not going to accept your blood, but he does require a blood atonement. That didn't change in the New Testament. God still requires a blood atonement. And you're like, really? Yes, he does. But that's exactly why Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. Because Christ even fulfilled the law. You're still in Hebrews chapter 9. Look back at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, talking about Christ, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, Christ didn't enter into the holy place of the temple here on earth. He entered into the holy place in heaven. When he died and was ascended into heaven, he ascended with his own blood. He had paid for our sins, and he entered into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Christ doesn't have to die again and again and again. It's not something that happens every Sunday or something like that. Christ obtained eternal redemption for us because he entered in with his own blood. And so the law requires, all through the Bible, a blood atonement. And Christ fulfilled that for us as well. Let's look at it again a couple more places. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Here in Hebrews, go back a little bit to Acts chapter 20. Cadets, that's page 535. Right after the book of John, right before the book of Romans. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Now listen, I know what information like this can do because I remember receiving some of the same information when people were quoting Bible verses to me before I got saved. And I thought, you mean I've been wrong all this time? It's okay to be wrong. But you know what you need to do is be willing to admit when you are wrong and do the right thing. You say, oh, but millions of people over the years can't be wrong. Yes, they can. And they have. And I'm not saying that because I think Baptists have a corner on salvation. I'm saying it because it was in the Bible for hundreds, for thousands of years, that God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, and people choose. The Bible even says, you know, every man, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone everyone to his, what? Own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We tend to go our own way and do things our own way, and even in salvation, people tend to follow a man, they follow something other than Scripture or something other than God, and they say, well, I think it's this, or I think it's this, or I think it's that. No, it's Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, Acts chapter 20, let's look at this again. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. Now, here's the important part. Focus on this. To feed the church of God, which he, referring back to God, hath purchased with his own blood. We know that's Christ's blood, and Christ is God manifest in the flesh. So Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, another, and there's many other places where it shows that Christ shed his blood for our sins on the cross. We'll not turn to these for sake of time, but Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. He says, for as much as ye know, as ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, received by tradition from your fathers, or your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers. And then verse 19, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ gave that blood atonement and fulfilled the law requiring a blood atonement. Fulfilled the law, baptism, good works, church. Christ hit them all. And there's, you could find every single thing required in the law. Christ met them all. When Christ was here on this earth, before he was crucified, Christ kept the feast days. Christ kept all the Old Testament law, not just blameless, but guiltless. He kept all of it absolutely perfectly. Now let's look at one more place. Turn to page 542, cadets. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Now, as would be implied, if blood atonement is a requirement, that means something has to die, right? You don't get blood without something dying. And so death is a requirement of that. And Romans chapter 3 tells us in verse 23, it says, and you know this verse, many could quote it, he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay, so we've all sinned. Now look at Romans chapter 6. And verse 23. Romans 6 and verse 23. And he says, in like manner, he says there, "For the wages of sin." So we've all sinned. That was established. Now he says, the wages of sin. What we owe God because of our sin. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that wages of sin is not just physical death, but it's eternal death. Everlasting death, if I can put it that way. That's why the Bible, when describing the lake of fire, and it says in death and hell, over in Revelation, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. He said, this is the second death. Now, it's not obliteration. It doesn't mean that you're just burned up and gone. It means that you're suffering the pains of hell in fire forever and ever and ever. You say, why would God do that? Because we refuse to receive the gift he gave to us, because we've sinned against him, and he provided a way for us, and Christ fulfilled the law. So how did Christ fulfill this? Well, we know he died on the cross for our sins. Even in death, Christ provided for that. 1 Peter chapter 3, you don't need to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." That refers to his death on the cross. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So Christ accomplished and fulfilled the law just as he said he would. He fulfilled the law. You say, why? So that we don't have to. Not only so that we don't have to, it's impossible for us to do that. We've seen where we can't provide a blood atonement that God would accept. We can't provide good works sufficient to attain to righteousness. You say, well, I got baptized and I go to church. Oh, great. Great. Do you go to church every time you should? And if you're trying to fulfill the law, do you go to church when the Old Testament says you should? You say, nah, probably not. You see, we can't fulfill the law, no matter how hard we try. And if you think you can, go ahead and tell me what the whole law is. And if you yet offend in just one point, God says, you're guilty of all. It's a pass or fail. You ever had a test like that? Doesn't matter how good you do on the rest of it, it's either pass or fail. I don't like those kind of tests. But that's what God provided, is a pass or fail. And I can guarantee you that every one of us fail. That's why it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ didn't fail. He got 100%, passed with flying colors, and accomplished and fulfilled everything that was required in the law. Let's look at three more verses. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and then we'll be done. If you're sitting in here today, and you think, or have been trying to get to heaven by good works, by trying to be a good person, trying to do better, and listen, I'm not saying you're not sincere. There are people that are sincere in their faith. They are sincere in trying to be good people, and they do many humanitarian efforts. They do all kinds of things that they might live in poverty thinking that that will garner God's attention in their lives. That's all part of this, good works and the law. And listen, God's not looking for this. He's looking for this right here. That's why in Isaiah 53 it says, "And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." God was satisfied with the atonement Christ made, and it's through him and him alone. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, Paul brings it down here and he says, "Therefore we conclude." He said, listen, this is after everything that Paul had seen and everything that had been revealed to Paul. Paul said, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." You say, I want to get to heaven, all right? Then forget all of this right here. Just forget about it. and focus on this right here. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Romans chapter 11, verse 5, it says, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, Paul says, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. He says, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. In other words, he said, you can't mix these two. You can't mix good works and grace after Christ died on the cross. He said it's either grace or it's works. It can't be a little bit of both or a lot of this one and some of this one. He said it's one or the other. And he said if it is good works, he said then grace is no more grace. Christ is dead in vain and we all should be doing something else today. But he said if it's grace, then work is no more work. Quit trying to earn your way to heaven. Now, he's not saying good works are bad, but he said, listen, they won't help you to get to heaven. Quit trying to earn your way there. You put your faith in Christ and him alone. And then in Romans chapter 10, you don't need to turn there. In verse 4, he said, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He didn't say he was the end of the law. Remember, he didn't come to destroy the law. He said he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You could keep all 10 commandments if you were able. If you were able to keep all 10 commandments absolutely without fail and without fault, it would give you no righteousness whatsoever in God's eyes in the matter of salvation. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the choice is up to you. It's pretty clear in the Bible the difference between law and grace. Some people might still say, well, this is what I was raised in. Doesn't matter. They'll say, but this is tradition, or this is what I was born into. It doesn't matter. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And there's no way to justify it and make this right, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's Christ and him alone. It's Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. He did it all. And when he died on that cross, he said, it is what? Finished. And the atonement was complete. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for sending Christ to die on the cross, to be the substitution in our place, to live the sinless, perfect life that none of us can live. We thank you for him being willing to do that for the ungodly.